real situations that are potentially avoidable. So this year is certainly a unique year. Last year, I don't feel that it needed to be to the point where positions were declared redundant and a lot of uncertainty, you know, and that's people's lives. So, I would make that motion to connect with the ministry about the effects of delayed PPF funding or PPF information from them.
Okay, thank you. So I'll continue through the list and just keep in mind that motion is also on the floor, trustee. So if you have wanted to comment on the motion but also ask questions on the presentation, that would be great. So I'll move along to Trustee Galindo.
Thank you, Trustee Danko. Some really good points that were brought up by Trustee Buck. I wonder, you know, one of our formal channels of communication when it comes to lobbying the provinces through OPSPA. And I know that we've done similar work with them in the past, as Trustee Johnson pointed out, with special education funding. I'm happy to support Trustee Buck's motion. I'm wondering, is it worth, following that formal channel through OPSPA, or can we perhaps also include in the letter something related to, just highlighting once again the discrepancy within special education funding across the province and the impact that it's having at our board. Specific to the presentation that we just received, no immediate questions, but that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Galindo. And maybe Trustee Johnson, you're up next. If you had any suggestions for whether it would be ideal to send a letter just about our budget issues, or if we kept it specific to PPF funding, and if you wanted to send something about spec ed funding, we could do that separately. But if you wouldn't mind commenting on that, but also if you have any questions or comments, please join in.
Yeah, so just first off, for governance, we can only be debating one item at a time. So now that our item is on the floor, which is Becky's motion, we do need to debate that only, and then return back to the report after, just to clarify that. But in terms of Becky's motion, it's fantastic, so I'm speaking in favor of it. And if, we can certainly, there's many ways to do it. We can highlight both concerns. That's really up to the will of trustees. Becky moved it, and I'm hearing that Cam is seconding that motion, but with that, it would be up to Becky still whether or not she wanted to expand that, but as Don said, that could be a separate. I'm not for or against. I don't know how much they actually read what we tell them, but we can certainly, I don't think it's harmful to highlight that. I think within the single letter. So I'm easy.
Thank you, Trustee Johnstone. So I'll turn to Trustee Tutt, and I'll come back to Trustee Buck to see if you would like to include a statement about the spec ed funding levels in the letter or not. Trustee Tutt?
Yes, I'm okay with the motion as it stands, and I'm also okay with any type of amendment to it. I understand the chair's comments as well, and I tend to agree with her on that statement. But I mean, I think it's important that we speak up and voice our concerns with any particular issue. So I'd be in favor. No questions on the presentation, though. Thanks.
Thank you. So, Trustee Buck, back to you, and I would be in support of this motion as well. Would you be interested in sort of amending the motion to include commentary on our special education funding challenges?
I think that based on Chair Johnstone's comments earlier about this, well, and our Associate Director Zucker's comments about this being very common, that $3 to $4 million yearly, we have to make up that difference. I'm not sure about the historical piece. Has a letter gone to the ministry formally saying, hey guys, we need you to take a look at this and fund us appropriately for what our needs are? If a letter has been sent in the past, I'm not sure that
it has.
Right now, it has. Okay. Okay, so in that case, then I would maybe look to just send the one letter about the PPF and the piece as it originally said, just because the more things we pack into it, I think it, we never know if they're going to pay attention to our letters anyways, and if we're concise and to the point, I see an advantage there. That being said, I think that our special education funding, that we're consistently for many, many years been going over our budget and really taking money from other areas that we could be using it and designating it for special education is unfortunate, and it's not something that the ministry should be expecting us to maintain forever. They should be meeting that need. It's significant. There are many, many students in Hamilton who are quite vulnerable. They have very specific needs, and we're meeting those needs, but there is a cost. Like, we've had to say we can't do other things because we have to put it towards special education. So, that is a tough one. I really could go either way, but I think in this particular instance, I think it might be worth our while just to focus on the one topic in the one letter and maybe even revisit writing a second letter about special education funding separately, if that makes sense. But I'd love to hear your guys' take on that.
Thank you, Trustee Blood. Can I just confirm with someone that we have sent this current ministry a letter about our special education shortfall? I know that we've done it previously with the Liberal governments, but I can't recall if we did that last year.
Thanks, and through the chair, Stacey, I don't think we have to this current ministry. I know that in the past, after the budget process has been over, we've outlined a few different areas where we struggled in the budget process. To let the ministry know. So I know that was done and I'm going back to when I first started, so 5-6 years ago, we used to write a quite detailed letter at the end of each process to say these were our challenges throughout the process. But I don't think we sent one to this current government.
Okay, thank you. So appreciating that Trustee Blatt doesn't want to dilute the contents and the focus of the letter, and that we actually could consider revisiting that process and sending another letter at the end of the budget process maybe to talk about where we had challenges and shortfalls. They are two different pieces. One's about the timing of confirmation of funding, and one's about the lack of funding potentially in different areas. I'll let trustees unmute themselves if they wanted to add any further comments, just since we've been debating this in a roundabout way. So hearing none, I will then to Trustee Buck's motion to write a letter to the ministry regarding the impacts of the delayed PPF funding announcements, recognizing our unique situation, but highlighting the significant impacts that it has. Is anyone opposed? Okay, so hearing no one for that. So Trustee Buck, you've asked questions about the presentation. Trustee Galindo, I just want to double check, did you have any questions on the presentation?
No, thank you.
Trustee Johnstone?
I'm good, thank you.
And Trustee Tett, you said you were good. I believe my questions have been addressed as well. So thank you very much for that. We'll move along to the next item, which is 3.1, which we added to the agenda, and that is a capital project update. So I believe there's also a presentation for that in our email. If you could turn to the PowerPoint slides, and I will turn that over to Associate Director Zucker.
Thank you, and through the chair, as trustees know, we did say that if there were any updates regarding capital, we would bring them to finance and facilities. So we wanted to bring updates as soon as possible. If you open the presentation, again, it's just one page so that we have everything in front of us. But I did want to say that capital construction is back up and running for all of our capital projects that were in process. So, and there are no major delays. And I really want to thank Dave and his team. As soon as the ministerial order was given that it could start back up, right away they were meeting with our contractors, making sure that we could continue finding out about what the delays were potentially and if it had any impact on school openings. So with that, our school that was probably had the tightest timelines with regards to construction and being ready for a September opening, Henderson is it doesn't say Henderson there, but that is what the third bullet is referring to, is Nora Frances Henderson, the opening of the new secondary school. We are reviewing that September opening date right now. We are, it is likely that it would result in a change in opening date. It is very preliminary, so we're considering all options, including a January opening, but we're also looking at what could it look like to open at any time between September and January. We will be providing a high-level public communication tomorrow, and we will be meeting internally with vendors, purchasing staff, looking at moving, because there is a move from, obviously, the temporary holding site to the new school, how long that would take, what's reasonable, what's a reasonable time period for that to occur over. And once we have met and had the updates from the contractors, we will provide more information as soon as we have it. So for Henderson, we are indicating that a September opening is likely not going to happen, and that we could be looking at a date as late as January for the opening and for the move. The last update is that we... Through the ministerial order, we were able to continue with our RFP processes. And for two of them, Mount Albion and Collegiate, they have closed. Mount Albion has been awarded, and we're working with the results from Collegiate. And, again, we will bring an update as soon as possible. But hopefully everything will be resolved by our meeting next week, and I will be able to say that that is awarded as well. So happy to answer any questions, but again, the main thing here and the communication that will result tomorrow is that Henderson will not likely open in September.
Thank you for that update. I have to say, of course, that it is disappointing. It's been a long, long wait for Nora Frances Henderson to open, but understanding the uncertainty around the construction, around purchasing, around the move, I think it's best if we are upfront with our school, our students, our families, so that we can let them know what options are on the table and that we're exploring different options. So I appreciate that we are open to different ideas, and I appreciate the update at this time. So I'll go through the list and check in with trustees to see if you have any questions, starting with Trustee Galindo.
Thank you, Trustee Danko. No, I'm very happy with staff. Just the sheer amount of work that they've had to put in to capital projects, and in the last couple of weeks with the ministerial order, I can imagine is a headache that they would have rather not have to deal with, but had to deal with it nonetheless. Particularly pleased to see that the Mount Albion bid was awarded. Last I had heard, I think construction was scheduled to begin in a couple of weeks, so I'm really happy to see that that's going to be happening. And I'll also add a quick note as well that the community was notified, I guess 2 weeks after COVID started, that the tender process was taking place and that construction would be started very soon, only for COVID to delay the process of construction. And but now it appears that the communication with the local community in the neighborhood was good timing. But anyways, that's my biased opinion on Mount Albion, as it is a school in my area. But thank you to staff for all the hard work they've been doing.
Thank you, Trustee Glendo. Trustee Johnstone?
So just to share that this is extremely disappointing news for our Nora Henderson community. They have been waiting so long, and so this will certainly add to a further disappointment. My understanding is that a communication is going to be going out tomorrow. And just to clarify, we're still aiming for the September date, but communicating to the public that that we are planning for a, I guess, later fall opening, I guess fall up until January opening. Is that correct?
Associate Director?
Yes, that's correct. That's what the communication will say, yes. And that is what we're doing. We are still aiming for that September date, but recognizing that there's a lot of uncertainty even with regards to over the summer, what possible restrictions may be on packing, on moving, on those sorts of things. So we just want to indicate now that it is a potential that it could not happen.
Mm-hmm. And I was listening to the premier earlier today, so there are so many restrictions. For example, pet grooming is open. You can go get your pet's haircut, but you cannot go get your own haircut. So, and some of these items don't always make sense. And we don't know what exactly September will look like. So we're still aiming for September, but recognizing that we are in, I guess, a unique time. What changed? We just recently had an update on all of our facilities, and we were told that all of our facilities were on schedule. So what was the new news that came about? Was it just recognizing that we may have a difference in, building or a social distance, that we may still have social distancing requirements in the fall? Is that the primary cause, or is it that we're behind?
So the scheduling for Henderson was tight, and we are still hoping, obviously, that the construction will be completed by the end of August, but there are a lot of moving parts with regards to moving, to scheduling the delivery of furniture, all of those kinds of things. And so, again, based on our internal meeting, even if the school was completely finished on August 31st, it would be difficult to say whether or not we'd be ready to be able to move everything by that time. So we just want to make people aware that there is that possibility that we just won't be ready.
Okay, so it's more an impact of recognizing that there's other deliveries and whatnot that will likely be impacted by social distancing and COVID. It's kind of what I'm hearing is what has changed, and the fact that it was a tight timeline previously.
That's correct, and again, and there still may be restrictions that happen over the summer that we can't predict, and we just want to make sure that everybody's aware.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you. Trustee Tutt.
No questions, thank you.
Thank you. And Trustee Buck.
Thank you, Trustee Danko. So my only question would be maybe for the smaller scale projects. And I'm not sure if this is something that you'd be able to comment on yet with any level of accuracy, SOP Director Zucker. I'm thinking of, so I'll use a few of my schools as an example. I've got McNabb has accessibility, among a few other projects on the go, and it, as construction projects tend to do, they were already delayed. And my hope for the smaller, I'm talking about accessibility, but putting in an elevator, it's probably a lot more work than I'm realizing, but my hope is for those smaller type of projects where it's not a brand new building, that a lot can be accomplished maybe over the summer. So if we're not limited too much by social distancing, is there any hope of those types of projects us really knocking them out of the park while schools are closed over the next few weeks and over the summer months? Just any kind of comment. I know that it's maybe going to be hard to comment on that with any level of accuracy, but just to kind of get a sense of where we're at on those.
Thanks, Trustee Bucket. I'm going to let Senior Manager Dave Anderson answer that because they have been working with our supervisors and with those contractors to assess all of the projects.
So thanks for the question. And through the chair, as Stacey has indicated, the capital project supervisors are working with all of our contractors, whether they're smaller or larger projects, just to make sure that they can hit the ground running as much as possible. One of the things that will impact the contractor's ability is whether or not students return to class. If that's not the case and they don't return, we're telling our contractors to get ready to ramp up as much as possible and take advantage of that time. So we're working with them as best as we can, but these are some uncertain times and there are restrictions and practices that they have to follow, and the Ministry of Labor introducing more inspections and that sort of thing. So it's not necessarily business as usual, but they're as eager to get projects completed as we are, so we'll continue to work with them.
Thank you. Anything further, Trustee Buck?
Nope, that's it. Pretty much the answer I had assumed, but I'm glad to hear from Dave on everyone's eagerness to really get these projects done and completed as quickly as possible, as well as possible, I'm sure. Quality is good. No further questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And, again, I'll just thank staff for bringing this update as we have new information, and I'm sure once we know if schools will be open or closed in June, we'll have a further update on those other projects at a future meeting. I also want to just thank staff, as much as Nora Francis Henderson is disappointing if we can't meet that September opening that people are anticipating. I appreciate the staff are being very thoughtful and notifying the community as early as possible that there is a risk. And I think people will appreciate that and recognize the level of uncertainty that we're facing over the summer. So with that, that was a monitoring item. We did not have any questions that emerged that would require us to go into public session, so we do not need to resolve into the committee of the whole. So we'll skip item four, and I will look for a motion to adjourn. I'm going to move that by Trustee Tutt, and I will just go through the roll call. Any last comments? Trustee Buck.
No further comments. Thank you.
Trustee Galindo.
Just a point of clarification. We are not going into committee of a whole after this, correct?
That is correct. There are no agenda. Mm-hmm. There's nothing to present from staff, and we don't have any questions. Mm-hmm.
No further questions. Thank you.
Trustee Johnstone?
Just that I find it funny that we always choose Trustee Tutt to motion to adjourn.
That was my special request. I'm joking, but Trustee Tutt.
He's already left on.
No questions. Thank you. So anyone opposed to adjourning? Okay, thank you, everyone. Our meeting is adjourned, and I appreciate your time tonight. Thank you, staff. Have a great night.
Alex Drumstone.
Left.
Dave Anderson.
Left.
Dawn.
Left.
Becky Peck.
Left.
Mark.
Left.
Trustee Cam Galindo.
Left.
Paul.
Left. Left.
Denise.
Left.
Gail McDonald.